bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air with you here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ, Holy Spirit Radio. And we have a great show for you today, and this is a special week because we have St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, and we have St. Joseph's Day coming up, March 19th. It is a truly wonderful time to celebrate two of the great saints' days. And also, this is the celebration of our anniversary here at Holy Spirit Radio. So let me just say good morning again and welcome. And I want to thank Dale and Jane right off the bat for giving us the opportunity to be here to celebrate, and also for the opportunity to use Holy Spirit Radio as a platform to deliver the message of the gospel. I want to thank Frank, for our producer, also for all the great work he's been doing for us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And today's show is actually dedicated to St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus and the patron of the Universal Church. On this day, we also dedicate our show to Holy Spirit Radio, who today celebrates their 22nd anniversary in broadcasting. Yes, today is the anniversary of WISP 1570 AM Holy Spirit Radio. My friends, what an honor it is to be here as your host. At this time, I must pray a prayer from the heart. And so let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A Heavenly Father, Father of all mankind, our eternal Father, we give you praise and thanks for this opportunity to come together as your sons and daughters, for we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for your blessings, for your graces, and for your presence in our life, for without you, we are nothing. Father God, what can we say but thank you for all of the blessings you have bestowed on us through the past 22 years of broadcasting. We thank you for the many people who have been part of our Holy Spirit Radio family, and for the many hosts and guests who have delivered the message of the gospel to our listeners. Father God, we thank you for those special people who have produced our shows and who have gone the extra mile to help our audience with special prayers and requests. Today we pray for our founders, Dale and Jane Meyer, and for Frank Eliason and our producer, and for their family. Father God, we put our radio station into your hands, and through the intercession of St. Joseph, we ask that you continue to bless this station with all that we need financially to broadcast for another 22 years and beyond. And we ask all these things through the holy and precious name of Jesus, the Son of God, and the Lord and Savior. Amen. So my friends, again, this is a special time. You know, St. Joseph's Day is the day in which this Holy Spirit radio station actually came to fruition, March 19th, 1999. And so on the Feast of St. Joseph. So we celebrate this week and today in honor of St. Joseph. And, you know, it's no coincidence that the Holy Spirit has given us the opportunity to speak and to speak strongly and wisely and lovingly as we deliver the message of the gospel and great programming from both Alabama and on the local level here in Doylestown. And it is, again, a privilege and a pleasure to be back here. Many years ago, I was a guest on Bill Miller's show in 1999, Voices for the Unborn. So, you know, it's been a long time that God has allowed me to be here and to take part in the Holy Spirit Radio family as we deliver, you know, good programs from the local area. So I just thank God for the opportunity once again to still be here and to celebrate with you, my friends. And as we continue our program today, I want to just mention that again, St. Joseph's Day is coming up. And the Feast of St. Joseph is very special to me. I was born on St. Joseph's Day, so it is my birthday. And, you know, St. Joseph is a special saint. Again, the foster father of Jesus. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about what it means to be a stepfather or a foster father to children. And what that means, you know, to us. Because our Lord had St. Joseph as his foster father. And the foster father role, you know, is very special because the person who is a foster father makes that decision to take on a new wife sometimes and children from a previous marriage and makes a commitment to those children to do whatever it takes to help them to succeed in life. And it takes a lot of patience and kindness, and it takes humility to understand the hearts and minds of those children out there who were in a position where their parents may have been divorced. And so this is a special day today where we honor St. Joseph and we look at the attributes truly of St. Joseph. And a little bit about St. Joseph as we begin the show. You know, who really was St. Joseph? Venerated as a saint in many Christian sects, St. Joseph is a biblical figure who is believed to have been the corporal father of Jesus Christ. Joseph first appears in the Bible and the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. In Matthew, Joseph's lineage is traced back to King David. According to the Bible, Joseph was born in circa 100 BCE, and later wed the Virgin Mary, Jesus' mother. He died in Israel circa in 1 AD. And so, after marrying Mary, Joseph found that she was already pregnant. And being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, he decided to divorce her quietly, knowing that if he did so publicly, she could be stoned to death. An angel, however, appeared and came to Joseph and told him that the child Mary carried was the Son of God and was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So Joseph kept his wife, Mary, and the two of them, you know, lived together. So it's a very powerful story, St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother Mary. And again, today we highlight St. Joseph, which is a special day in the church. He is the patron of the Universal Church. And growing up in New York City, I know that the tradition of St. Joseph cakes has always been with us. And they usually are a special cake that comes out for only 4 weeks a year. And it's in honor of St. Joseph. And it's truly a special thing that we look forward to, our families always look forward to. And we look forward to, you know, picking up some of those St. Joseph cakes today. Also, this week we want to just highlight that St. Patrick's Day is another special day, you know, in which we honor, you know, St. Patrick, who was a tremendous warrior, you know. And St. Patrick is a holiday which is known for parades, shamrocks, and all things Irish. From leprechauns to the color green, find out how symbols we now associate with St. Patrick's Day came to be and learn about a few things that are purely American inventions. For instance, the shamrock. And the shamrock was also called the cimroy by the Celts, was a sacred plant in ancient Ireland because it symbolized the rebirth of spring. By the 17th century, the shamrock had become a symbol of emerging Irish nationalism. As the English began to seize Irish land and make laws against the use of the Irish language and the practice of Catholicism, many Irish began to wear the shamrock as a symbol of their pride in their heritage and their displeasure with the English rule. Another thing that's unique to St. Patrick's Day is Irish music. Music is often associated with St. Patrick's Day and Irish culture in general. From ancient days of the Celts, music has always been an important part of Irish life. The Celts had an oral culture where religion, legend, and history were passed from one generation to the next by way of stories and songs. After being conquered by the English and forbidden to speak their own language, the Irish, like other oppressed people, turned to music to help them remember important events and hold on to their heritage and history. As an often stirred emotion and helped to galvanize people, music was outlawed by the English. During their reign, Queen Elizabeth I even decreed that all artists and pipers were to be arrested and hanged on the spot. Today, however, traditional Irish bands like the Chieftains, the Clancy Brothers, Tommy Makem, are gaining worldwide popularity. Their music is produced and instruments that are used and have been used for centuries, including the fiddle, the pipes, the tin whistle, and the bodhran are used in warfare rather than music. So this is a special time for us as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day and also St. Joseph's Day this week. And so we thank God for really bringing us the saints who give us a rich history as we proceed each and every year in celebration of many of the saints. And again, today we highlight St. Joseph and St. Patrick. I want to shift gears right now and take us, my friends, into a ruling that came out by the Vatican. And here it is from Pope Francis. The Vatican on Monday forbade blessings of same-sex relationships, contradicting calls for the practice of progressive bishops in Germany and elsewhere, and setting a limit to the conciliatory approach to gay people that has marked Pope Francis's pontificate. The Vatican's doctrinal office, in a document personally approved by Pope Francis, said it wasn't permissible for clergy to pronounce blessings on any relationship outside of marriage between a man and a woman. The document reaffirms Catholic teaching on marriage and sexuality when several liberal bishops, including the head of the German Catholic Bishop Conference, have called for blessing same-sex couples in committed relationships. Priests in Germany have widely blessed such couples for years, as have clergy in some other parts of Northern Europe. Such blessings are wrong, the Vatican said on Monday, because they would seem to approve and encourage a choice and a way of life that cannot be recognized as objectively ordered to the revealed plans of God, adding that God does not and cannot bless sin. German bishops have tangled with the Vatican on other matters, including the question of giving communion to Lutherans, and are unlikely to back down in their stance on blessing gay unions. German bishops and lay Catholics are currently involved in a national synod that is considering changes to aspects of church life, including the possibility of women clergy and teaching on sexuality. So my friends, I just want to reiterate that, you know, this week the Vatican rules out blessings for same-sex relationships. And this is, you know, important that they reinforce, you know, marriage between one man and one woman only. And this is important. And it's really something that we need as a people, because there have been so many other things that have come about that we have taken on the chin, truly. So we appreciate, you know, Pope Francis stepping up and doing his part as the Pope and as the leader of the Catholic Church to reinforce the message of family life between a man and a woman, which truly is the foundation of our world today, as it's God's calling. And when he says to us, for this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and to join his wife, and they will be fertile and multiply. And in that context of a marriage, my friends, we have the possibility of beautiful children coming about. And this is why it's so important that we reinforce these messages and the message of life as well as family life. Very important. Okay, very good. I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Joe Montone here at Holy Spirit Radio. We're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It is a great day and a privilege and a pleasure to be with you here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. I want to, just take a moment to let you know that our hot topic for today, because we are talking about Saint Joseph, who was the foster father of Jesus, truly is geared for men and women who have become stepfathers and stepmothers when they decide to remarry after getting separated, divorced, and moving on. You know, God calls us to marriage. And the question is, how does a child handle things when a mother or father makes a decision to get married again and they have a new man or woman in their lives who become a stepmother or stepfather? You know, there are some great challenges for kids in this category. And I know because I grew up in that situation myself. And, many years ago when my mom and dad decided to divorce, you know, in 1963, 1964, you know, nobody knew the future. But, you know, 9 years later, dad decided to get married, you know, and he said to me, he said, you know, I'm thinking about moving down to Florida and getting remarried. How does that make you feel? And I said to him at 9 years old, I said to him, you know, Dad, if it's something good for you and it's something you want to do, I think you should do it. But inside, I knew that I was truly not honest with my dad. Yes, I wanted him to be happy, but I knew that if he did this, I would probably not see him very often. And I would probably, you know, lose those visits with my dad. And so in 1969, he moved down to Florida and remarried. And I seen him three times in 18 years. And those were some tough years. And these were challenging years for my sister and I. And I just share that with you because it's important, because we have a lot of children today who are really the victims of divorce and growing up in a separated situation where they have a time with a father and a time with a mother in different homes. And, you know, there were some great challenges that they have to go through as children in a divorced family. And so 2 years later, my mom decided to remarry. And, you know, and at that point, I had a stepfather. And so we had to build a relationship. And one day he said to me, he said, you know, Joe, it's been a couple of months now. And I just want to ask you a question. You know, how would you feel about calling me dad? And I thought about it, you know, and I knew him for 2 years. And I knew that he was a good man, a respectful man, and had taken a great, you know, made a great decision to take on my mom and my sister and I. And I tell you this because, you know, he deserved the respect that I was going to give him. And with that, I decided, yes, I can do that. I can call you dad. And that's important for a child because, you know, you want to feel that connection between a father and a son. And when you're going on a first name basis, it's a whole different world. But when you're calling somebody mom or dad, those terms, you know, automatically allow you to embrace that person, to get closer, to really move forward from the heart. And so with that, we built a strong relationship, and we had many great things together that we shared. He was a retired policeman, and his name was Dominic Montone. And, you know, he had suffered some great losses in losing his wife to kidney cancer and his son to Vietnam, Kenny, and who was killed in Vietnam. And so within a short time, after losing two of his loved ones, you know, a couple years later, he remarried and made that decision to move on. But as a child growing up in that environment, you know, I was very fortunate to have a family man, a man who had traditions, including saying a blessing at the dinner table, the breakfast table, going to church on Sundays, a man who enjoyed, you know, treating others as you would like to be treated, practicing the golden rule. And we did many great things together, but we had to, you know, get to know each other. We had to have honesty and sincerity and respect. We had to have, you know, trust built within our relationship. And that takes time. So for the new kids out there who are newly, you know, entering into situations where their parents are remarrying, you know, I want to tell you to be encouraged, but to give 100% yourself. Don't think it's automatic, you know, that you're going to feel love from another person. You know, you've got to do your part. What goes around comes around, and we treat others as we would like to be treated. And, you know, Mother Teresa always said the greatest disease in the world is a lack of love. And we have to bring that love to our stepfathers, bring that love to our stepmothers, and to do what we can to foster good, healthy personal relationships in a family. And that really makes a difference. It makes all the difference in the world. And I encourage you to be forthright, to be bold, and to have humility. Humility enough to say, you know, I love you. Hey, Dad, you know, thanks for doing what you did. You know, to really get to know your stepfather or your stepmother, because it's important. And many parents, you know, who are biological parents, have the same challenges that the step-parents do as well. Because teenagers are teenagers, and they really have a lot of growing up to do. And they're entering into new situations, such as driving cars and girlfriends and boyfriends, going through puberty, you know, and all kinds of things, trying to figure out what kind of a career they'd like to have, going through high school and college. So some great challenges. And it brings me back into the 1970s when, you know, my stepfather, you know, spent time with me teaching me how to change the oil in a car, how to change tires and brakes and do tune-ups. You know, he got me enrolled in high school and college and came with me when I bought my first car. He helped me to get a job when I was 16 in 1976. And he was always there. He really was always there, very stable. He was a retired policeman in New York City and working then in the Brooklyn court system, but then had fully retired. And so he was there, and he was always there with a good, kind word and helping to provide stability and help us to really get through the day in a positive way. You know, and so I just had to take my hat off to my stepfather, Dominic Montone, who was just a great man. And, you know, I only had him for 9 years because he did pass when I was 21. So, you know, as these new relationships are formed, nobody knows the future and how many years you're going to have with this new step-parent. You know, so to the kids out there, I encourage you to really give it 100%. And do what you can to make it a great relationship, you know, both for your stepmom or your stepdad. Whatever your situation is, it's, you know, it's one of the blessings of a lifetime to have a parent who sits down with you each and every day and has a meal with you. Because there are a lot of children out there truly who, you know, have a void at the dinner table, a breakfast table. And so if you're blessed with parents out there, do your part. And give them 100% and, you know, make it a good relationship. Very, very important. Okay, I want to again, take a moment to let our listeners know that, you know, we are here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I want to thank again Frank for producing our shows here at Holy Spirit Radio, and also specifically, you know, Finding God in Prison, which we have over 52 shows on the pod now that are available for self-help. We've had many guests who are on the show, and we've had many great programs with different topics of discussion. And so I just want to thank Frank for all he does, and also for Dale and Jane once again, as we celebrate the anniversary of Holy Spirit Radio on the Feast of St. Joseph's Day. We thank God for these people who have been called to run the radio station, both WISP and WCOJ, 1570 AM and 1420 AM, and 24/7 for many years now, over 22 years. You know, God has called them and inspired them to provide the work that they do here at Holy Spirit Radio in bringing to you great programs from Irondale, Alabama, and also on the local level. So we are an extension of Mother Angelica's EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network. We are an affiliate station. And you know, for over 22 years, we have been blessed to be part of that whole mission of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And with that, we're going to transition. We're going to segue now into the gospel, which is so important each and every week. And we're going to start off with the gospel today of John. And here it is. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works might be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a tremendous gospel today, my friends. And in the gospel today, St. John tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." How many of us would give up a son so that others could live? Eternal life, the gift of a lifetime, and God gives it to us freely. That's right, my friends, we can't earn it. Yes, God reminds us that eternity is not gained from works, so no one can boast. You see, God knows us well, my friends. We want to tell everyone about the good things we've done, and sometimes we even boast about it. I'm sure you would agree. We want to get the credit for it. But God confirms this in the second reading when St. Paul tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one can boast." Like the blind man whose sight was restored by Jesus, and the crippled man who walked again, their faith in Jesus, the Son of God, healed them. My friends, today God reminds us that eternity is there for us. It's available for every one of us, but only if we believe in Jesus and that He is the Son of God. He is the Son that God refers to in the passage today. Do you remember the words that I read a minute ago? Let's repeat it to be sure. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. My brothers and sisters, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that He died on the cross for us? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days? Do you believe that He preached for 40 days on the mountaintops and then ascended to His Father in heaven? Do you believe that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles and our Blessed Mother Mary in the upper room 9 days after His ascension? Do you believe this? Do you truly believe these scriptures? My friends, today God is telling us that our belief in Jesus cannot be half-hearted. To gain eternity, our belief needs to be wholehearted. I ask you now, can the human body run on half a heart? Can a woman become an Olympic gold medalist by giving a half-hearted effort as she prepares for the race? Think about it. Allison Felix was just 18 years old when she finished as a silver medalist in the 200-meter event at the 2004 Summer Olympics. She put her heart into it and gave 100% effort to win the silver medal. In 2005, Allison became the youngest ever gold medalist sprinter in the 200-meter race at the World Championships in Helsinki. In 2007, she became only the second female athlete to win 3 gold medals at a single international world championship in athletics. At the 2009 World Championships, Allison Felix was part of a United States 4x100-meter relay team that ran the fastest women's sprint relay in 12 years. My friends, to win the gold medal, we need to give 100% and put our whole heart into it. We need to give it all. Today, we're not focusing on just the gold medal. Our goal is eternal life, to go to heaven, and to be with the Lord and our Father forever. And St. Paul says it best in 2 Timothy, "I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but to all who have longed for His appearance." So I ask you the question, are we longing for the Lord's appearance? Again, what is our belief level? Is our focus on God or is it on worldly things? Contemplate this for a few seconds, my friends. Will we inherit eternity or will we perish? Think about it. The word perish means to suffer death, typically in a violent, sudden, or untimely way, to suffer complete ruin or destruction. Do we really want to perish? Have we thought about it? Have we contemplated these words of God in the Gospel of John and truly thought about it? What are we doing today to avoid perishing? Eternity, on the other hand, is defined as infinite or unending time, a state to which time has no application. Endless life after death for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Where are we going after death, my friends? No one knows the time or the day, but this is one appointment that will not be missed. Many years ago, I had a breakfast group with 2 other men. One of the men was healthy, and the other man was half paralyzed. At every breakfast, the healthy man would boast about how he was retired and had 3 pensions. Every time we met for breakfast, he would go on and on about his 3 pensions. One day I said to the man, "That's great. You have financial security. You're very blessed. You also have good health and free time. Tell me, what do you do with your time?" The man responded, "I can do anything I want with my time." I said, "I know, but tell me, what do you do with your time every week?" He said, "Well, I meet the guys for coffee once a week, and I can see my daughter anytime I want." Truly, this man had very little going on in the week and had become very comfortable. About a year later, I heard from the man who was half paralyzed that the healthy man had died after being diagnosed with cancer. Yes, my friends, the healthy man had 3 pensions, but not for very long. He had financial security, good health, and free time, but wasn't using it all for God. My friends, as we leave the church today, we leave this program today, let us make a wholehearted commitment to believing in Jesus 100%. As actions speak louder than words, let us build a life that's focused on preparation for eternity and show God our Father how much we love Him by praising and honoring Jesus' Son, who died for our sins and who gives us access to eternal life. Very powerful gospel, my friends. Yes, Jesus is there for us, but we've got to love Him 100%. We've got to truly be there and love Him. And actions speak louder than words. Very important concept. We all need to know that. And we have to show up for the game each and every day with good actions. Yes, good words, because every word counts. Every word counts, and the Lord is listening to each and every word that we speak. We are responsible for our words and actions. We want to be doers of the word, take action, and make good things happen. My friends, as we continue with the program now, I want to talk to you a little bit about darkness versus the light. And in the gospel, the Lord tells us, you know, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come forward to the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Very powerful. And the Word of God is calling us really to make changes, to go from darkness to the light. And we've all been there in those areas of darkness within our lives. All kinds of things and examples. As a guy working in prison ministry for more than 25 years, we've seen many people incarcerated. Many of them have come through the darkness and into the light. They've made a conscious decision to go forward and to change their life. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired and incarcerated, handled by judges and attorneys and prison officers. They're tired of giving up privileges, and they get tired of waiting at the cell gate to come out each and every morning, to take a shower, to have breakfast, to make a phone call, to have a visit. Tired of losing privileges whenever something goes wrong within that cell or cell block, and to be locked down for 24 hours, 48 hours, to be limited and confined to your cell 6x9 for those many hours is challenging. To be in isolation, to live with people who don't take care of their personal hygiene, people who are abusive, and you can't do too much about it. I want to tell you a story about one of the guys in the Wings program now who went from darkness to light. Truly, Jacoby, one of the leading wingmen in the Wings program, who actually was a guest here on the radio station. And Jacoby truly was a guy who was committed to selling drugs and weapons. And he would use Greyhound and Amtrak, basically going from Newark to South Carolina. And he would, have everything stored in a backpack. And, that was his routine. And, he would deliver, a check every week to his wife and kids. And he did what he had to do. And Jacoby served 62 months in 9 prisons, 7 different states. And he did that because of the sale of weapons and drugs. And one day, Jacoby truly found the Lord. And he changed his life with God's help. And Jacoby likes to tell the story, of how he got caught one day, on the highway. He was in his own car and on the highway, and he got stopped by a policeman. And as the policeman walked around his car, he circled the car and looked inside from all different directions and then went back to the police car. And another officer came by with a canine unit and opened a door. And as the officer opened the door, he saw a little bag in the front seat. And he put his hand in that bag, and as soon as Jacoby saw him put his hand in that bag, he knew that he was done. And the officer pulled out his weapon, and he said, "Don't make a move." And he put him in handcuffs, arrested him, and he set him down in the front of the car, outside the car on the highway. What Jacoby likes to say, it was about 100 degrees out there. It was hot, and he was put against the hot engine, and he was handcuffed. And when it was all done, Jacoby was in the back of the police car, and he said to the officer, he said, "You know, officer, these handcuffs were awfully tight." And the officer said to Jacoby, "Jacoby, well, then they're not made to be comfortable." And he said to Jacoby, he says, "You know, when I get off work, I'm going to go see a ball game today and have a couple of beers and a couple of hot dogs." And he said, "I'm going to enjoy the evening." And Jacoby thought about it. But Jacoby served 62 months in 9 prisons in 7 different states. And he's seen a lot. And with God's help, he was able to make the transition from the darkness to the light. And again, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed." And that's what the criminals do, my friends. They keep everything in darkness so they're not exposed. The burglaries, the petty theft, the assaults, the hijackings, the carjackings, the larceny, the grand larceny, all kinds of things, the home invasions. No one wants to get caught. So when people get caught and things get exposed, their life changes. They have to suffer through incarceration. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen and as done in God. And it's a very powerful thing to make a decision, a conscious decision, to come to the light. Just like some, we all have free will. And sometimes people make a conscious decision to sin, a mortal sin that requires, you know, a fully conscious decision that I know what I'm doing. This is not a mistake. I'm not entering into it by mistake. I'm doing it knowing fully what I'm doing. There's no excuse for it. It's something that we do consciously. So when we choose to live in the light so that our works can be clearly seen as done in God, we give God all the credit, all the glory for it. And it's important. A good example of that was a guy by the name of Stan Tookie Williams. He was the founder of the Crips, who was convicted of 4 homicides and served time in San Quentin. And he served 6 years in the hole, solitary confinement. And he found God in the hole. Hence, we have the show, Finding God in Prison. And he was a great example of a guy who found his faith by reading the Bible, the dictionary, Black history. He spent quality time getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. With that, he makes a conscious decision to live out the truth and to come to the light. And, you know, before he died, he wrote, you know, many books against gang violence to help children to avoid street gangs, the kind of lifestyle that he grew up in. Stan Tookie Williams truly was a wingman, and he was put to death many years ago and in San Quentin through lethal injection. But I tell you that because, you know, he was a guy who went from darkness to light. The real McCoy, the real deal, an extreme example. But we all have been there. We've all come from the darkness and into the light in one way or another. Many years ago, I had the privilege of being a visitor for a nonprofit organization called Aid for Friends, who makes 2 million meals a year in Philadelphia and the surrounding counties to help people who have no food or can't shop for themselves. For 10 years, I brought meals to various families. It was a young guy who was actually the first person I had to bring meals to many years ago. His name was Chad. He lived in the Harbor Lights apartment complex in Bristol, Pennsylvania. And Chad was 25 years old. Chad was a reformed drug user and alcoholic, 25 years old, had spent 13 years using drugs and getting high. And he got clean and sober at 25 years old. And then he was stricken with multiple sclerosis and had lost partial use of his legs. So when I met Chad, he had just gotten the braces put on his legs. And for 6 years, every Friday, I was able to bring Chad 7 to 10 meals and, you know, visit with him. And each and every Friday we did that. And Chad, who was, again, a drug user, a drug addict, and alcoholic, had gotten clean and sober. And he thought that he had, you know, the world by the tail now because I'm clean and sober, but when in fact God had another plan and he was stricken with multiple sclerosis, MS. And so he lost the use of his legs partially and then fully after a year or two and went to the wheelchair and continued in that way. But he had a strong faith. And he used that faith. I motivated him, helped him to become a mentor, and run a hotline from his house for and be a sponsor for other people in AA and NA, Narcotics Anonymous, as well as Alcoholics Anonymous. And Chad did that. He used his time to help people. And he used his faith to inspire him to do those kinds of things. And he went from the darkness to the light. From hiding things to exposing the truth. And he was a powerful guy who was really stricken with MS. But when I visited with him, I would say to him, Chad, how are you doing today? And he said to me, he said, well, I'm doing great. I said, well, let's look at it. You know, spiritually, you're doing 100% because you are committed to God. Mentally, you are doing 100%. You have a great attitude. You're always positive. And physically, you're really limited 50% because you're in a wheelchair. You can't walk. It's very difficult. So you're running at about 85%. But God bless you because there are people out there who have their physical capabilities and are ready to commit suicide. So with that, Chad went on and lived with MS, and finally he lost the partial use of his arms and had to leave his apartment and move into City Line Avenue into Inglis House, where they have more than 200 cerebral palsy and MS victims. But I just tell you, Chad was an inspiration to me. And each and every week for 6 years, I brought him meals. We actually ran the Wings program in his living room sometimes for people who were in Narcotics Anonymous, drug users on the front lines over in Bristol, PA. But again, he went from the darkness to the light, and that's the focus here. Like Jacoby, who made a decision, Chad, too, decided to get clean and sober, to give up the drugs, to give up the alcohol, and to give 100% to God. It's powerful. Years later, I met a guy, I'll call him Mr. M, who was an alcoholic, and a guy I knew in Bucks County who had a severe alcohol problem. He was 50 years old, married, had children. He had gotten one DUI in his past, but when I met him, he ended up with a problem with drinking vodka. And he was arrested outside a 7-Eleven because of his drinking. Stumbling out of a 7-Eleven, getting into his car, a police officer picked him up and said, you know, we're not going to let you drive tonight. And he arrested him, and he got his second DUI. And because he was just about to start the car. And I just tell you that we put him in the Wings program. And this alcoholic who was committed to drinking had really a tough spot. He was put out of his home. And he was put out by his sponsor in AA. His sponsor gave up on him. His family gave up on him. His children gave up on him. And he had really nowhere to go. And so when I met him, I put him in a Wings program and documented everything that he did for 90 days. And we prepared to go to court in August. And so I helped him to get, you know, situated and to get organized and to make his meetings and to engage in work, to go to church, and we documented everything. And he had gone from the darkness to the light. In that transition, we prepared for the court. But like I said, he had nowhere to go because everyone gave up on him. One day I took him back to his home and I said, you know, when your wife comes, I want you to get on your knees and beg her to allow you to come in your home again because you have nowhere to go. Everyone has given up on you. And his children were on the balcony of the apartment. And his daughter yelled out, "You're not going to bring that person here, are you?" She didn't want her father to come in the house again because he had been so unstable that his mother had to put him out. Because of that commitment to alcohol. So, eventually went to the court and I gave the judge a document showing the last 90 days of credibility and stability. And the judge said this, as we stood in the courtroom in front of 40 other people who were there for DUIs, the judge said, "Mr. Montone, I'm going to give you what you've requested in this document on one condition. If he tests negative today, okay, if he tests negative and he is clean, then I'm going to give you what you want, which is house arrest instead of being locked up." And the judge said, "If he tests positive, he's going to be locked up for 6 months. This is his second DUI, and it's been a problem." So, in any case, he tested negative, he got house arrest, and he went on. And today, he is clean and sober, and he, again, went from darkness to light. A very powerful decision to give up alcohol. Like Chad, who gave up drugs and alcohol, and Jacoby, who gave up selling weapons and drugs on Amtrak and Greyhound, these three individuals, along with Stan Tookie Williams, the founder of the Crips, who went from the darkness to the light and made a conscious decision to do that, we too must do the same. And again, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." And the first step, truly, in going from darkness to light is to choose Jesus and to put your faith in him and to start moving forward day after day doing good things for yourself, for your body, for your family, for your finances, for your children, for your home, and to choose the light, to come into the light, and to not live in darkness. And with that, my friends, we're just about out of time at the top of the hour. I want to thank you for listening today on the Feast of St. Joseph's Day. I want to wish you a great week this week and a great day. I want to say again, happy anniversary to everybody here at Holy Spirit Radio. And congratulations on another year and many years of wonderful, successful work here in broadcasting. God bless you, Dale and Jane and Frank and Carolyn. And for all of our Holy Spirit Radio family, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here once again. My name is Joe Montone, your host. Have a great day. God bless you. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Take good care, and God bless you, and enjoy the Lenten season. God bless.